recording, I think. Hello? Yep, we got sound. All right. Okay. Our apologies, folks. We've missed the first part of this, but we've been talking about the title of the Lord Jesus Christ that's found only in the book of Revelation, and that is this one, Alpha and Omega. Now, as we'll see, though, this is not the only time this is found, and that's important, okay? So, we have it here. Let's take a look, first of all, at the places it's found right here in the book of Revelation. The first one is verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega. And who's saying this?
Jesus.
Are you sure?
Says the Lord God.
Says the Lord God. Okay, now some people will say that's not Jesus. Okay. So this is something a little bit different. And it also says who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And there are some who say that Jesus is kind of God, but not God Almighty. Okay. Well, whoever the Alpha and Omega is God Almighty. Okay. And the expression, the Lord God, this is borrowed from the Greek translation of the Old Testament, which was used when a particular pair of names of God was used that identified him as Jehovah God. Absolutely God. Okay? So, whoever is saying it here is God, as absolutely God as they can possibly be. Okay? Not relatively God or godlike or anything like that, or, you know, second-rate God, something like that. This is absolutely God. Okay? But right here, you can't be absolutely sure that it's Jesus speaking. Okay? So, now, if we come down a little farther, it depends on the version you're using. Here's where it gets a little bit interesting. In verse 11, now my translation here, which is New American Standard, what I'm reading from, it says, he hears this voice, and it says, a voice saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, etc. Okay? But somebody here might have a little different beginning to that verse.
Saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last.
Okay. So, here it uses Alpha and Omega again, and as the first and the last. Okay? The reason for the difference is not somebody's trying to mess with doctrine. The reason is that most manuscripts don't have this, okay, in this verse, in verse 11. Okay? Does that prove it doesn't belong there? No, but that's the reason, okay? So most of the manuscripts and a lot of the manuscripts that many consider to be the most reliable manuscripts don't have this. Some have this and not that. Okay? So, that's the reason if you have a different translation that may be missing. Is that a big problem? No. Okay? And we're going to see why. This is a good example of why, of how textual differences really don't make a difference. Okay? Even though it seems pretty serious on the face of it, and it could be, except God has done, you know, a supernatural job of preserving the truth of his word. So let's take a look at there are two more places where this title is found. And to find those, we have to go all the way at the other end of the book. And the first one is in chapter 21.
Well, it does say, chapter and verse 17, I'm the first and the last.
Yes. Yeah, and we're going to come back to that. And that is in all the manuscripts. Okay.
So where are we going?
Okay. Yeah. Chapter 21 and verse 6. Now here.
Is it Revelation?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I'm sorry. Okay. Revelation 21 and verse 6.
I'm not on the beginning and the end.
Okay. There you have. Yeah. Now, who is talking here? Who do we know for sure is talking? Back up just a little bit and you'll find.
This is John.
John.
Well, I mean, who is speaking? He, someone is saying to John.
He said unto me.
He said, so who's the he?
God.
It says God himself.
Someone seated on the throne.
Yeah, that's all we really know, for sure. Okay, is that it's the one sitting on the throne. Now, that raises the question, which throne is this? Okay, now we do have some, prior to this, we have some people sitting on thrones that are not God. Okay. However, the last throne that's been mentioned, especially singular, one throne, the last throne that's been mentioned is, anybody want to guess what it is?
The
one at
the right hand.
White throne judgment.
Yeah, it's the one at the final judgment. It's the great white throne. Now, is that the same as the throne that we find in chapter 4, which we haven't gotten there yet, where we find God the Father actually is on the throne, okay? Is that the same or is it a different one? In all probability, it's a different one. Usually, you know, the rule of grammar, whether it's Greek or English, unless you have something else to tell you differently, is that when you have a pronoun, it's, big word, antecedent. What the pronoun is talking about is the last thing that fits, okay? And the last throne that's been mentioned is the great white throne. Now, who's sitting on the great white throne?
When he talks earlier in that chapter 21, he says, I heard a great voice out of heaven. And then in verse 4, he says, and God shall wipe away. So God
is sitting on that throne, okay? Could it be Jesus?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It could, though, because Jesus is given judgment, is he not?
Yeah, that's the key. This is something most people think of God the Father as being on the great white throne at the final judgment, but Jesus himself said, and I think this is what you're thinking about, that the Father has committed all judgment into the hands of the Son because he too is the Son of Man. My personal belief is the one sitting on the great white throne is Jesus because of that verse. Now, I can't prove it from anything else, necessarily, except maybe this, okay? But it doesn't stop there. Okay, this gets mentioned, it gets used one more time, and that's in the last chapter, chapter 22. And this is the real clincher, okay? All right? Chapter 22, last chapter of the book. Okay, and it's found in verse 13, but let's pick it up at verse 12. Okay, there's actually a change. There's someone else is speaking in verse 11. It's an angel speaking in verse 11, but it clearly changes in verse 12. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the
Alpha and Omega,
the beginning and the end, the
first and the last. Okay, so you have all three mentioned here, and it doesn't matter what translation you have unless somebody has really been playing games. Okay, all three are there, and they're in all the decent manuscripts and so forth. So that pulls it all together. So while there might be some textual differences in that first verse, not here. Okay, and this pulls it all back together. Okay. And he says, I am coming, okay? Does that give you a hint as to who's
Jesus,
okay? Now, you mentioned another thing that's really important. It includes here, Alpha and Omega makes very clear the point of this, and that's first and last, beginning and the end. Let's just focus on this one. How many can be first and how many can be last?
One.
Okay. I mean, that's just it's the only way it can be. Okay, so then we go back to what somebody else mentioned here in chapter 1 and verse 17. And he's been looking at this one, starting at verse 12. He heard the voice that was speaking to him, and it describes him. We talked about this some last time and so forth. And so he turns to see him, and it says in verse 17, when I saw him, the one who had been speaking to him, I fell at his feet as a dead man, and he laid his right hand upon me. I love this verse. Saying, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. Now, it doesn't stop there. And the living one, okay, that could be any member of the Trinity, okay. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive.
Kind of narrows it down.
That narrows it down. Okay. There is no question who is doing the speaking here. This is Jesus, okay? And he is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, the Lord God, the Almighty.
Well, it was the reason John would know Jesus' voice.
Yeah, yeah. Now, he might not have recognized it. He described his voice here, and it didn't generally sound like this when John was, you know, walking around with him, okay?
Yeah.
So he probably, he wouldn't have necessarily recognized the voice. But the voice clearly identifies himself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's no real question. Now, the other thing here is to notice that while this title is unique to Revelation, this one is not, okay? And this reaches all the way back to the book of Isaiah. And I want us to go there real quick. Turn to Isaiah 44. Okay. Isaiah 44. All we could look at here, but verse 6. Thus says the Lord. Some of you might have something different there for Lord, but in a lot of translations, it's going to be in all caps, and that means it's Yahweh, Jehovah, okay? The personal name of God in the Old Testament. Okay, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am... Bingo. Okay. Not only that, there is what?
No God. Apart from me, there is no God.
So, is this half God?
No.
One among several gods? A second-rate God?
The one true God.
Mine says the Lord Almighty.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Some translations use Lord Almighty to translate the one of the titles there. Yeah. There is no way around this, okay? And it is, you know, abundantly clear. And it really doesn't stop there. By the way, you go back up to verse, I put 4 there, but that's not, I don't know why I put 4 there. Anyway, doesn't matter. Okay. But go to chapter 48, just a couple pages over. And verse 12. Good. Verse 11, he says, my glory I will not give to another. But he says, verse 12, listen to me, O Jacob, even Israel whom I called. I am he. I am
first and I am the last.
And actually, it's interesting, it goes on here. Surely my hand founded the earth, my right hand spread out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand together. He is the creator. Okay, all this fits exactly with what, for instance, we learned about the Lord Jesus in the book of Colossians. Okay, that he is before all things, and by him all things consist. All things were made by him and for him. Okay. And really, I want us to look at one more. We're going to go over to one of the letters, because each of the letters to the seven churches, Jesus is speaking, and he introduces himself and draws attention to something that was in this vision that we've already seen here. Okay, occasionally he adds one or two things or puts an extra little bit with it, but he goes back to this vision and emphasizes one part of it or another. So if you go back to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Fingers, good exercise, this one. Revelation chapter 3. And this is the last letter. Okay. This is to Laodicea. Okay. And chapter 3, verse 14. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the what?
Beginning of the creation
of God. Now, some people will take this one and say, well, see, he was the first created being. There are groups that teach that, okay?
The angel?
No, not the angel. They're saying the angel is one that is being given the instructions. So he's writing to the angel. We're going to come back to these angels here, but he's writing to the angel from that has to do with the church in Laodicea, but it is Jesus who is speaking here. Okay, same one who started at the beginning. And okay, so he is the one giving these messages to each of the churches through these angels. We'll talk about who they are. Okay, but he refers to himself here as the beginning of the creation of God. So
my version says ruler.
Yeah, that's interesting. Anybody else have something different? Okay, the Greek word, and this is, but a lot of translations will have beginning here. The Greek word is this. I have an electronic device made by a company by that name, but. They're still around. I don't know where they got the name. But anyway, this is a really important term. It has several different forms. For instance, it can mean the first in a series. It can mean that. Okay? So, just on the face of it, that's one possibility, but it's only one of several. And there are a great many places where it definitely does not mean that. Okay? This is one of them. But, for instance, this part of the word here, that from which we get a word by the way, that's actually all Greek. Okay? So, if it was the first in a series, an archangel... How many archangels would you have? Yeah, you'd only have one first angel created. Okay, but there are several that are referred to. There's at least two that are named in Scripture. Okay, Gabriel's one, and Michael's the other one. Okay, most people think that Lucifer would have been one of these as well. But the idea here is what you have. That is, it can mean first in time, but it can also mean first in position. Okay? That's the idea of a ruler. And that's what these archangels are. They're high level. Okay? So they're over many other angels. Michael is over the host of heaven and so forth. Okay? So, it can mean first in time. It can also mean first as far as a ruler. Now, by the way, does that fit here based on what we know about the Lord Jesus from the rest of Scripture?
Not ruler. Do you think? I mean, I think God's always going to be there. He's always going to be the ruler. Nobody can take
But who
place.
Is Jesus?
Yeah, Jesus, well, same the Trinity is very difficult. I mean, you have to accept it. I was told years and years ago when I was in my early 20s, just accept it.
Right.
When you get to heaven, you can ask that question. But right now, you just have to accept it. Not even, you know, question
but it. But it, here's the thing. If God is the ruler, is Jesus the ruler?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And that's part of understanding the Trinity to the extent that we can understand it. What is said of God can be said of Jesus, except they do have different roles and so forth and do different things. But is he the King of Kings and Lord of Lords?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. He is also referred to, as we've seen, one of his other titles is the firstborn of all creation, which is very similar to this idea. That could mean that he was the firstborn, but the term firstborn, in many cases, as for instance in the case of Isaac, does not mean the first in time. It's first in position. So as the firstborn of all creation, he is the heir and owner and governor of all creation. So that at least fits here. This, you got serious problems. If he's the first and last, and you know, so on and so forth, if he is God, then time is irrelevant. So from what we've seen, this title makes it very clear that he is absolutely God. If that's true, then this meaning can't fit. This one can. There's another meaning to this archos word, and that is the prime cause. Now here we get into some heavy philosophy, but this is really important. Okay. You know, we sometimes say Jesus is the reason for the season. That's an understatement. Jesus is the reason for everything. Everything. Except God himself. If it wasn't for him, there would be no creation. Not just because he is the creator, as we've seen there in many places, here and other passages of scripture, including the one we saw in Isaiah, but because he is the reason, he's the motivator. The Father does everything he does for the Son. All things were made by him and for him. He's the one who actually carries it out, but he is the reason the Father has him carry it out. This is a huge concept to get a hold of, okay? On several different levels. One is to understand, if you're going to really understand the Bible and God's plan, you need to get this. And that is the driving force behind everything at the bottom line is the relationship between the Father and the Son. Everything that the Son does, he does to glorify and please the Father. Everything that the Father does, he does to honor the Son. The Father's love for the boy, this comes out in huge ways in the book of Isaiah, but it's really all through the Bible. This love that exists between the Father and the Son is the engine that runs everything. So how important is it? Yeah. You know, we sometimes talk about getting with the program. Okay. This is the program. He's the program. It's all about this. And then, by the way, this also has huge implications from a philosophical and creationist standpoint as well. That from a philosophy and logical standpoint, sooner or later, unless you just are determined to not be rational, which many people are, you have to come to the conclusion that there has to be an uncaused first cause. Otherwise, you're just kicking the can up the road, as it were, right? Well, you know, where did this come from? Well, that came from this. Where did that come from? Well, that came from this. Where did that come from? That came from this. Blah, blah, blah. And, of course, the evolutionary hypothesis can just, all it can do is kick the can. I mean, it just, okay. I mean, that's it. It cannot answer the ultimate question. And the Big Bang does not answer that, by the way. Where'd that little super condensed bit of whatever meaningless nothing come from in the first place? And what made it explode and become, you know, galaxies and stars and molecules and atoms and cells and... That makes sense. There has to be, sooner or later, you have to go back to something that's greater than all of it, that is absolutely timeless, that didn't start. And it has to be greater than all of it. That means it has to be personal. It doesn't make sense that the cause of persons is impersonal. That makes no sense. Only the Bible. Only the Bible. There is no other religion, really, that does this. Islam kind of borrows on this a little bit, but... Okay. Only the Bible gives us the answer to the ultimate question. And this is it.
I was reading that Islam mentions Jesus Christ like 25 times. Mm-hmm. And Mohammed once or twice. It's just very little.
You're talking in the Quran?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know what the... that could be true. I don't know the statistics. It's spelled Isa in Arabic, and that's the name. But I don't have an electronic version of the Quran. I do a search.
My cousin is a missionary in India to the Muslims, and they use the Quran. It's called the Camel Method within the International Missionary Board, and they use the Quran. They take a verse from the Quran, and it says that in the end, Christians, all those who worship Jesus and believe in Jesus, will be elevated above everybody else. And so he uses that to talk to the Muslims and say, don't you want to be up there with everybody?
Yeah.
And I know his wife was in Indonesia, is that right? Mm-hmm. And she was real skeptical because she was a missionary there. And they didn't use that there because they had a completely different approach. And he had to kind of sell her on this. You know, we're not teaching the Quran. Believe me, we're just using that one verse to introduce them to.
To establish a link.
He has a paper version that somebody mailed him as a joke anonymously. So.
I ain't burned it yet.
Okay.
I have a question about the angels. I've always believed that angels are created by God and are always there. They've been there way before us.
Yeah.
And we don't turn into angels when we die.
Yeah.
But I see many Christians who think that. They'll say, another angel's gone to heaven. No. We go to heaven, but we're not going to be an angel.
No. No.
We don't have wings up there.
Aren't we actually in a position above the angels?
Yes. Actually, it's said that we will judge angels. It's found in Corinthians. We don't know a whole lot of details about that. I'm not told that anywhere else. But Paul mentions specifically that one day we're actually going to judge angels.
You don't
want
to be demoted.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be better than that. And, you know, the Bible talks about the things that have to do with our salvation. It says that angels long to yeah, the King James has look into it, but it's a word. It means to stoop down, to look into. You know, they can't. You know, it's beyond their grasp. Okay, and you know they're awed by what God is doing. So yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more. I don't think we got time to get into it today. We're going to talk about the angel thing as we go into the next study. Will be. Transitioning here and going into this messages to the seven churches, and we'll talk about the term angel. By the way, I will just tease you with this, and that is that that there are some angels in the book of Revelation that may be people. Okay, but they're not people who died and became angels.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Good.
That's all I did.
So there are angels who are people?
Yes.
I didn't.
Is that masquerading as people? Is that what you're saying?
No, 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 no.
Okay. He won't tell you, Kevin. I can guarantee that.
Okay. So, yeah, there are cases of that. Okay. And that's really not what I have in mind here. But yeah. Okay. There are also angels who masquerade as different kinds of angels too. That's, gets interesting. Okay. But we better wrap up. Any questions? These are good ones. But. Okay.
On the verse where Jesus was given judgment, what do you know what verse that is? Or where it's
I want to say it's John, it's in the Gospel of John. And my guess is it's either in chapter 5 or chapter 8, but I'm not.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but it might not be either one of them. In the King James says he has committed all judgment unto the Son.
I mean, I know that's true. I was just curious.
Yeah, I'd have to look at that. Yeah, good. Okay. I don't know how to turn this off. Just. Recording. Slide to unlock. Oh, you'll have to enter a password. Yeah.